Thanks for the band. Flight that first scripture, Dinis, so that we can read. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. Very important scripture, I think, that we need to look at this evening. And that scripture actually just speaks of, it speaks of two persons. It speaks of a smith, and it also speaks of a waster, destroyer. And what scripture is talking about there is about prayer warriors. You cannot do God's work if you don't pray. Impossible. And the way that you fight the enemy is by being the smith. Now the smith is the one that goes there into the inner room and he prepares those beautiful things that we need to do. Now, that bringeth forth an instrument. The New King James says a sword. I'm just going to read it to you in the English Standard Version for those that find it difficult to understand the thou and the why and the foreth and sareth and wareth and whatever with. So I'm just going to read that in the English Standard Version. Very beautiful translation. Very true to the original. Isaiah 54, verse 16. Behold, I have created the smith who blows the fire of the coals and produces a weapon for its purpose. You know, there's a weapon. And so many of us are fighting our battles with blunt weapons. Ons wapens is stomp in Afrikaans. Because we don't spend enough time in the inner room. Your Christianity will be reflected in how much quality time you spend with God. It's not about just the great things that you do. But how much quality time do you spend with God in prayer? As a smith, creating sharp weapons, strategies. And one of the things that God has just been talking to us now as we're praying, I'm really sensing that God wants us to pray at Boland College for this next week, every morning at 5:30. We're going to meet here, at the grass here, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for this college. And if you've heard about the story at the one school where they fought, you know, and they shot this one boy dead. I don't know. It's difficult to translate what goes through a parent's mind when that happens. But it's even more difficult making sense of it. Why does this happen? And I can tell you one of the reasons why a lot of these things are happening is because Christians are not praying and they're not praying strategically. They're not sharpening their swords. And so I just feel that the church needs to take responsibility. And I just want to pray that that will never happen here at this college. Never. Never. And we're going to stand in faith for every person that is on this college. We're going to pray for them. So every morning at 5:30, we're going to meet each other. If you can be, you can. If you can't, it's fine. Then we're going to pray. And I would really like to invite you, if you can be here. But we're going to pray the whole week. Saturday also. Because we really feel that this is an instruction from God. It's not a suggestion. Because there's certain strongholds that we need to break. It's no use. You know what? If people don't pray for me, it's no use me preaching. If I don't pray, come prepared here, there's no use me in preaching. Useless. What I'll say to everybody here will be useless. So we need to understand, and you need to understand this evening, if you really want to fight this battle effectively, you need to pray. Now let's read 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2 to 4. Can you flight that scripture? For kings, Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, we must pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. If you can just keep that scripture there. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, I want you to pray for kings and I want you to pray for all those in authority. You pray for all of them. You lift up holy hands and you pray for them. If it's for Mr. Cordier, you pray for him. He's in a position of authority. You pray for him. If it's for the president, you pray for him. If it's for Julius Malema, you pray for him. You go as a blacksmith. You sharpen your sword and you just pray God's will into being. Why? Because God will have all men to be saved. Not some men, all men. Statistics are for mathematicians. In God's economy, it works like this. I want all men to be saved. God so loved the world, not a piece of the world. Some would say God so loved South Africa. It's not true. Or the Americans would say God so loved America. Or England, or whatever. God so loved Spain. God never said that. God said he so loved the world. And as the All Blacks would say, God so loved the All Blacks. Or New Zealand now. But you know, that's not true. God so loved the world. God wants all men to be saved. Why should we pray for authority figures? Do you see the answer there in the scripture? Why? So that we could live peaceable lives. If you don't pray for your boss, if you don't pray for your leaders, you won't live a peaceable life. You know why? Because that is the place where you settle just so much with on your knees. So as to when you go to your job, you know that you've prayed for him, you know what God's heart is for him. It's settled. Sometimes God will give you a word, whatever the case may be, but praying is really important. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. Praying always with all prayer. That is why I was so excited when David read that scripture from Ephesians. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We must pray for one another. We must pray for the saints. We must pray that the saints will not be distracted. One of the things that is trying to distract the saints at this moment is the attack on their finances. We heard this morning as people just testified on how God just blessed them. But if we don't pray for them, they will be, you know, attacked in areas of finances. There's so many things that comes against God's children, and there's no way that you can fight it alone. We must pray for one another. Seeing people's faces before you, going on your knees and standing in the gap for them, praying for them, really interceding for them, the enemy away from them, for the saints. It's so important that we get this right. Jesus did it for us. He's expecting us, as the Apostle Paul teaches you, that we should do that for one another. We must find God's mind. In other words, why are we going to pray here at the college? Because it's fun. Prayer can be fun. It can be. For some of us, not. It's a burden. And some of us, if it's so early in the morning, 5:30, we should rather pray with eyes open. Otherwise, we may fall asleep again. But, you know, the reason why you come to pray here, because we want to have the mind of Christ. We want to understand how God feels about the college. There's no way that you will feel how God feels about the college or Rossendale or the flat if you don't get on your knees and ask God to show you and then pray his heart through. And if there's one thing that I've learned, we don't come against strongholds and, you know, principalities and powers. When we come to pray, we can only take authority, listen very carefully, to the things in this realm, the earthly realm. But you get so many Christians, they do warfare and they want to take on strongholds and all of these things. and they actually get hurt because they don't understand divine authority. You get the first heavens, the first realm where we live in, then you get the second realm where Satan has been cast down. Demons, fallen angels live in there. There's a difference between fallen angels and demons. Now the fallen angels, they operate from the second realm. They take captive certain areas. You with me? And then you get the top realm where God is. Now for some reason, if you read scripture, Satan has access to the top realm. I don't know why. Please don't ask me. Ask God when you get there one day why he allowed it. Like in the book of Job, Satan had access to that part. You know, there's a lot of scholars that said he does not have access anymore. I can't comment on that. I don't know. All that I know is that he can go there and that he can have conversation with God. But now you get so many people, they don't want to bind Bacchus, and they want to bind this demon of sex over this. And you don't do that. Whatever manifests here, you have authority over. And you cast out in the name of Jesus. Not I tell you to come out. In the name of Jesus, leave. That's what we pray. Are you with me? And that's the level of warfare as David just wrote. It's against principalities and powers. If your eyes were to be open, what is happening now around you, you'll all run out of this building. If God were to open your eyes right now just to see, some of us has been blessed with the ability to sometimes discern spirits, see into the spiritual realm, seeing spiritual things, and having an understanding of spiritual things. And for a lot of times, we have like chucked those people away. They shouldn't talk in church because you scare all the people. You can't, you know. People are going to come to church if you talk about these stuff. But we're gonna need those people in these last days just to discern. And especially now, the way things are going now, we need to go into a place and immediately know what the vibe is there. And so that is why we pray. We pray for the saints. We need the mind of Christ, how Christ feels about an area. And so the only time when we can really take on strongholds over an area is when all Christians start to feel like that. In other words, churches, groups, and areas, when they come together and then when they say, we've had enough. It's like those moms, have you ever seen on television when they shoot a child and the child dies, then all the moms, the community, they get together and then they say, enough is enough. Now the only way that you can stop that is if that whole community comes in the name of Jesus and says, enough is enough. Otherwise it's just a perpetual thing. It goes on again and again. Are you with me? So when God starts to transform communities, he does it through prayer. He does it no other way. God will start with a man praying, and that man, Daniel, will be praying to God, and God will be sending the angel. Daniel will say, God, you must help me. I'm fasting. Then Gabriel and Michael, they will fight the battle because of Daniel's prayer. When God stands in front of Abraham, and Abraham intercedes for Sodom and Gomorrah, Jesus actually says, look, I'm going to destroy Sodom. And then he says, okay, but my nephew Lot lives there. And then this beautiful conversation starts with Jesus. Look, if you find 50 righteous men, then will you destroy them? Jesus says, no, I haven't found them. He said, 40, 30, 20. But because of Abraham's faithfulness in prayer, God saves. God actually sends two angels to rescue Lot because of prayer of a righteous man, because of the prayer of Abraham. Are you with me? So we need to come to that place where we as communities start praying together, as families, as small groups, as communities, as churches. And I would really encourage you to come to intercession, because in intercession, everything happens. Thursday evenings, 7 o'clock. We pray for 1 hour. Chris is my conscience. I have a conscience that speaks. Thank you, conscience. Chris was Bob's conscience also. Do you want to be delivered? Beautiful. So, guys, we must learn through prayer to move more in the supernatural. If you want to be part of this family and you're uncomfortable with the supernatural, come and talk to us. Talk to us or smoke with us. That's fine. But we're going to have to trust God to move in the supernatural. It's really important that we do that. There's no other way that we can fight the enemy without the supernatural. Now, that is the realm where we were actually created to live in. This is just the body. I'm actually spirit first. When my spirit leaves, I die. When my spirit comes back, I'm raised from the dead. Now that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you because you said yes to Jesus. That same spirit. So it's really important that we need to understand this. When we pray, when we move into the supernatural, we see with the mind of Christ how God feels about a college, how God feels about your boss, and then you pray it into being because God wants all men to be saved. Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Just keep that scripture there. That speaks of the prayer of a priest. A priest is somebody that stands in the gap for a nation. That's one of the ways that we pray. Does it make sense? Should I explain it to you more? God says to Ezekiel, I looked for a man. A priest. That on behalf of these people that can repent, some people pray like that naturally because they flow in priestly prayer very easily. In other words, they repent on behalf of all of us. You always find something like, God forgive us as a church. We're so lazy, God forgive us. A priestly prayer. Somebody standing in the gap on behalf of other people. You know Angus's favorite verse, if my people humble themselves, repent. So the priestly prayer is the man that stands in the gap for his family. He stands in the gap for a church. And so when somebody repents on behalf of the church, God forgive us for being lazy, God forgive us for having idols, then we must allow them to pray that at intercession. Watch this. Somebody that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. It's so wonderful if you have people like that can sense that they must pray in that way because that keeps God's judgment from us. On behalf of us, they repent. You know Moses, he does it brilliantly. Moses does it brilliantly. The Israelites, they freak out God, they make God angry. And then God just wants to get rid of all of them. Then Moses stands in the gap. God, please don't do this to them. Please forgive them. They don't mean, God, I repent on behalf of them. Sometimes there's parents. Some of your parents here, some of you may sit here at college and you're doing all the stuff that you're not supposed to do, but your parents are praying for you. They're standing in the gap. And I can tell you this, if it wasn't for them, you would have been killed a long time ago. I'm just sensing that's a word for somebody here. You would have been dead. So wake up. I don't know who it is, but it's a serious thing. We shouldn't underestimate the prayer of a priest that repents on behalf of you. Just keeping you in the flow of grace. Secondly, prophets, Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 7. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. The prophets, they just pray the warnings. Father, we're sensing that there's wolves coming in among the sheep. They want us a division, God. And then we all alert because we know there's somebody's going to come in here. Something's going to happen here. Somebody's going to be taken out. But they warn us. They sound warning. Isn't prayer exciting? You thought prayer was boring, eh? This puts prayer into a whole other dimension, eh? Prayer is not boring. And so I can't pray all three of those styles. Sometimes God will lay on my heart the priestly prayer for the congregation. That somebody will pray prophetically. God, we see this. God, I see this. Then I listen. I listen carefully. And most of the time, 99% of the time, what people pray there, I preach about here. It's as simple as that. If you want to know Sunday sermon, come to intercession. If you want to know Sunday sermon, come to intercession. It's as simple as that. Sometimes we come at intercession and we just share testimonies. What has God been doing in your life, in your life? What is God saying? And this is really important. If we ask, what is God sharing with you concerning the church, you don't share what God is just doing in your life. You don't share, you know, my dog stepped into a glass. And so I prayed for my dog's foot. Paw. Dogs don't have foot, sorry, feet. They have paws. You don't pray for your dog. We don't pray. We pray for the town. We pray for Worcester, so that Worcester can be saved. If God says we must pray for our country, we pray for our country. If God says we must pray for the nations, then we pray for the nations. But primarily when we get to intercession, we pray for the town, so that you can have a heart for the people of the town. Love the city, love the people. You can't say that I'm a Christian in the town if you don't love this town. Are you with me? So, some people will just sound the warning. Watchmen. Watching out. It's watchmen. They're always on the alert. 24/7, God is telling them, look, you need to watch out for this. And then you pray. You just pray prophetically. It's the prophets. Now, our shofar flows prophetically naturally because our leaders are prophetic. Fred and Lucille, they flow prophetically. If you can't flow prophetically, ask God. Because it's the way that we do it. Tani Jenny would always say, no, we just know, you know how we did it. Tani Jenny would always say, now must we really not do this again? But it's not that we're chucking the old away, we're building on blocks. God is saying this, and because we're working this through still, God also saying this, then we're going to work this through. And then God also says this, and then we're going to work this through. But with us, you'll see, it's not a static thing. It's a constant flow in the prophetic. Because that is the nature of us. And sometimes we will say things that will disturb other people and will make them uncomfortable because we're miles ahead. But that doesn't mean we're better than them. It's just that we're seeing the warning. We're seeing the signs. And it's really important that you understand that we need people to interpret the signs of the time so that we may know what to do now. If we can't interpret the signs of the times, then the church will be in trouble. And so two of the ministries that is most misunderstood at this time in church history is the prophets and the evangelists. There's always room for a pastor and a teacher. There's always room for pastors and teachers, but as soon as people speak prophetically and as soon as people speak as apostles and that anointing, then people have a problem with it, or the evangelists. You know, but it's one of the most misunderstood ministries. God needs to help us as the prophets. And then Genesis chapter 1:26, and our God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over. But it talks of dominion. This is the kingly prayer, when you pray as a king, where you take authority over things, where you take authority over your home. When you go to your home, you anoint your home. When you go to the college, you go to your classroom, you anoint your classroom. You pray to God and you take authority, the dominion. As a king, you pray as a king. Now, kings decree. Kings doesn't make suggestions. Kings decree. We decree life over this college. We decree life. Death, you will not be here. We decree life. We decree God's grace upon this place. That is what a king does. A prophet sees prophetically, the king decrees, and then, you know, the other one, that we spoke of the priest in terms of repentance. Are you with me? Then, the last scripture. Do you have a last scripture there? Oh, we stopped there. Hey, that's fine. That's all that I wanted to say this evening. I think just find James chapter 5 and 16. I think that's a really important one also. Let me just get to that also. Because at this stage, we need... God is bringing us to a place of vulnerability. Weekheid. Confess your faults. Now, that's a wrong translation. Can we just see the Holmans, the HCB, let's just see how they translate it? Because God, you don't repent of faults. You repent of sin. So that's a wrong translation. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The intense prayer is also translated, the effective prayer of the righteous is very, very powerful. It's very powerful when we start praying righteously. You know, none of us deserve to be in God's presence, but He makes us righteous. And then He says, come, and then He will open your mouth, and then He will allow you to pray when you've said yes to Jesus. Now, I just love what God's doing. You know, so it's really important that we open the door for them. I just love what God's doing. Just in shifting your head and your heart, God already moves on your behalf. Some of us, you won't understand what I've just said now. It's fine. Those that was with me, when we prayed, the band members, they all know now what I mean. But God is just awesome. So, we need to get to a place of brokenness. God cannot use proud people. God cannot use proud people. He cannot. There's a place of brokenness and humility that God will bring you to. Because then you're like a broken vessel. There's just a pot clay that stuck at this. Then God will use you. And some of us, we don't want to be like that clay pot. Ons wil ons water binne hou. Maar jy kan maar probeer jou water binne hou. Teen hierdie tyd, ons so vol gate, you know, we're so broken. The human race, they don't want to admit it, but we are so broken, we can't help ourselves. You know, not even money can fix us. If you think that money can fix you, let me tell you this thing. If you die, you can't take it with you. Somebody else will use your money for you. If it's not your children, then it will be the banks. If it's not the banks, then it's your wife. But you can't take it with you. You can leave it for your wife, you can leave it for your children, but you can't take it with you. So we're all confronted with the same thing. Who are you worshiping? Who are you praying to? All of us, we are confronted with that. It's as simple as that. And the church doesn't tell its members that. The church keeps its mouth shut and it tells people lovey-dovey stories about why they need to be Christians. When God says and Jesus said that you must be a militant church changing people's lives, I want all men to be saved. And I can tell you this, the whole hell will come against you when you start living as a king, as a priest, and as a prophet. All hell will come against you. But I will tell you, if you walk faithfully into what God has called you, you will stand. Some people will die as martyrs, and oh, what a beautiful grace that will be. The gospel that brings life. Can we fly Timothy again? Can we fly Timothy again from... Can we flight it from from verse 1 to 4? Just why we need to pray. So guys, I've said a lot about prayer. I've said a lot about prayer. If weekends is flighting, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Supplications, prayers, intercessions. At another stage, I will explain to you what all of those are. But what I want you to know is that God says that we must pray for all men, for kings and all those who are in authority. We must pray for them. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. All that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come. God wants everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to be saved. I'm going to say it again. God wants everybody to be saved. Are you willing to pray for everybody in your influence sphere? You have a sphere of influence. You can pray for those people. And it's rightly said that man's Christianity is reflected in the way they relate to God in their quiet times. Jy sal 'n Christen uitken of 'n Christen is as jy kan sien hoe hy in sy stilte tyd met die Here praat. And so, where I'm at now, and my wife at now, through all the challenges, the only thing that keeps me standing here Sunday by Sunday is the word that God whispers in my ear. I've called you for a time such as this. There's beautiful people around you. See them. Pray for them. Stand in faith with them. That's the only reason why I'm still standing here. I can tell you now, money's not making me stand here. If I wanted to be rich, I could continue my career as a DJ and as a teacher. Then I would make lots of money, but it's not about the money. I'm standing here because God has said so. I'm standing here because every day God just puts it in my heart. Carlos, there's so many people that needs me. And Carlos, you must understand, you're only a small part of what I want to do. Don't think you're Mr. Man. I can tell you, guys from the college, I can tell you this. In this life, you are going to, I don't know if everybody ever told you this, but I'm going to tell you. You're going to be challenged in life with so many things, you won't have answers for it. I can tell you that now. Nou gaat soveel goed in julle lewe gebeur, julle gaan nie weet wat julle moet maak. You won't know if you're Arthur or Martha. You're not going to know what to do. I'm going to be honest with you this evening. I'll tell you what will make you stand. If you understand why God has called you and why God believes in you, that will make you stand. The rest, God will add if you seek first His kingdom. It's a huge challenge and we don't tell it to each other often enough. When I said yes to become a pastor, did I know that my wife will have a miscarriage? I didn't say yes for that. When I said yes to become a pastor, I didn't know that people would speak negatively of me. I didn't say yes for that. I never knew there will be months where there's no money in my house. Like no money. I never said yes to that. When I got into this world, I had 5 brothers. 1 died in a car accident. I never said yes to that. Yes, he can die in a car accident. Yes, he can. But I said yes to God. I never said yes to my situations, but I did say yes to God. When all hell breaks loose like last year, your children is in hospital. Both of them 3 times. You go to the doctor. You don't have money to pay the doctor. I never said, God, yes for that. Nobody. Everybody says yes to that. But I can tell you, I said yes to God. And it's because of Him that I'm standing here by His grace. So I've received grace in those areas, and I really want to impart that grace to you. But then you need to come to the cross, because at the cross, there's the grace. The cross of Jesus Christ. It's not foolishness. It's that place where you stand before God, and God says, I bring everything that I am in my prayer, I bring before you. But you don't do it out of your emotions only. You do it out of your spirit, because God will connect your spirit. You will unlock your spirit. You will unlock things in your spirit that you've never known, and you'll become great. Not in a Hollywood sense. You won't become Tom Cruise great. You'll become God great. And God doesn't measure any one of us in the way that the world measures us with success. Success in God's terms is something else. And yes, you can become rich. And yes, you can have everything. But that's a means to an end to be a blessing. For the grace that is in you, freely you've received, freely you must give. And people think I'm talking about money now. I don't want your money. I'm talking about the grace to go on. The grace to carry on. You know, the church in so many other countries, they are persecuted. People are being killed. They're being shot dead. Their heads are being sawn off. And I would just like to talk to them so that they can impart grace to me. Because that is what I'm after. There's something that God has put in your heart that I would like. But only you can give it to me. But only if you've said yes to Jesus. There's something in Bob's heart, in her heart, that a lot of the students may think, why does Carlos hug me? Why does he talk with me? Why does he go, yes, my brother? I see God's hands on people's lives. I want to know what's in Bob's heart. And he must, if he can impart it to me, then I would be so happy. Yeah, when I come and talk to people, I just show God is in this person's life. I want to connect. God, this is your child. You know, how do they do it, God? There's so much grace. Grace abounds. I want to grow from glory to glory. And so I can't talk with Christians that are always negative, because I don't want them to impart that into my life. I don't want to talk with negative Christians. If you go through pain and you go through hell, it's fine, tell me about it, but tell me I'm seeking the Lord's grace. And sometimes we're really down to the earth and we need to support each other, and that is fine. But I'm talking about the ministry of moaning and groaning. It's a bad ministry. It's a bad ministry. The ministry of moaning. The church of complaining. The church of grumbling. You know, I don't want to be like that, you know. So what I've learned is to look people in the eye. And I trust God so many times. God, impart to me what is in this person's heart. Impart. I don't have it. Grace abounds. So just as I want you to feel the power of God in your hearts when you've said goodbye and you walked from me, the same that I want from you. I want to feel I connected with God's child. It was such a wonderful experience. And not a teaching where I teach you now. You mustn't do this, you mustn't do that. No, I don't want to teach you. I want to connect with a brother that I've connected with God in prayer. Guys, see you tomorrow, 5:30.